This is Greg LaFollette reading my column, It's the 80s All Over Again. The 80s were wonderful, unless, of course, we're discussing fashion or technology and the practice of public accounting. Fortunately, we've come a long way since then. Unfortunately for them, our counterparts in Brazil have not. Many of you know that I recently led a Rotary Group Study Exchange, GSE, team to Brazil. One of the benefits of the GSE program is the opportunity for professional visits. In Chapecó, Santa Catarina, Brazil, population 210,000, Rotarian and Contrador Luiz Clonert arranged a wonderful series of meetings for me. Luiz and his English-speaking university-aged son first took me to meet with Avanci Ganzoni, director of the Sindicato das Empresas de Servicios Contabilistas e Assessamentaro Parasitas Informacantos Apecatitas no Estratamento de Santa Catarina, or executive director of the CPA Society of Santa Catarina. Avanci was very helpful and most interested in understanding the similarities and differences in how the profession is practiced in our respective countries. We compared demographics and found that while Brazil has more firms per capita than the United States, both countries have an overwhelming majority of small, fewer than 10, firms. In reviewing the state of small business in Brazil, it's easy to understand why. There are very few franchises, and most businesses are small, mom-and-pop, owner-managed style. These businesses utilize precious little technology. The more advanced retailers have just rolled out scanners and barcodes, and most, those with annual revenues over about $600,000, are required by law to engage a contrador, i.e. a CPA. Once engaged, the contrador, actually the firm, performs virtually all bookkeeping and accounting services. You'll find no Sarbanes-Oxley management rules here. The outside firm does everything, and at year-end issues a signed and certified book that contains a printed record of every transaction, including all appropriate adjusting journal entries for the year. This book is kept by the client and must be presented upon demand of a bank creditor or of the Brazilian Internal Revenue Service. I tried, without success, to find something that vaguely resembled a financial statement in the book I was shown. It seems that management prepares and issues those financial statements, and the role of the independent accountant is to capture, classify, and record every transaction and prepare a record of such. Avanci proudly told me that the society is working with vendors to develop a method to deliver the book electronically. You think? My next stop was the Revenue Service, where I met Roberto Forcelius, District Manager of the Brazilian Internal Revenue Service. Roberto confirmed that the IRS and CPAs in Brazil have the same love-hate relationship as in the United States, with certain significant differences. The format of the book is prescribed by the service, and the accountant's license is at risk for virtually any material error. In sharp contrast with the United States, young accountants in Brazil begin their careers in private practice and aspire to land a prestigious, high-paying position with the IRS. I was surprised to hear that the Brazilians estimate a 50% revenue loss attributable to underreporting and failure to file. Sort of made me feel proud to realize that they admire our success in voluntary compliance. My last stop was at the offices of the largest firm in Chapecó, about 160 people. The firm looks exactly like a typical U.S. firm of the 1980s. Two partners, six managers, about 20 seniors, and maybe 130 clerk data input style bookkeepers. Professionally licensed contradors are four-year college graduates, while clerks are basically trained on the job. I observed no sense of urgency here, and everywhere I looked saw vestiges of the olden days for the profession, from a wall full of rubber stamps to rooms full of data entry clerks. Brazil is decidedly behind the U.S. in the delivery of professional services. Managing partner Da Silva told me that people are cheap in Brazil. While they're trying to advance technology, the costs are very steep. During our discussion, I heard an interesting complaint, one that I heard at a small office in Campos Novos a few weeks ago, and also at the Society office earlier today. It seemed that the market-leading provider in Brazil, IOB, was recently purchased, and practitioners feel that prices have increased substantially. The purchaser? None other than Thompson. No further comment here. While Brazil is technically considered a third-world country, its financial infrastructure seems solid, albeit mostly manual. The people understand their need for technology, and they keep a close eye on the United States as an aspirational example. They have a vibrant economy and an enviable entrepreneurial work ethic. My prediction is that they will move 30 years in the next 10. It's an exciting time for this South American giant, and I'm fortunate to have had the opportunity to share with and learn from them. Obrigado, amigos. P.S. If you're not familiar with the concept of social networking, perhaps you should consider becoming so. Back in the 90s, we had to learn about email. Many practitioners scoffed when we showed them a business card, including an email address. Today, many are scoffing about LinkedIn, Facebook, and Second Life. The AICPA recently launched LinkedIn groups for CITP and ITMS. And Tom Hood, the visionary executive director of the Maryland Association of CPAs, has become the de facto mayor of SLACPA. That's the Second Life Association of CPAs. Virtual communities are happening, and they will change the way we practice public accounting. I spoke on this topic, blogs, podcasting, and social networks for accountants at AICPA Tech Plus, and I'll cover it at several other conferences as well. Please join me if you get the chance. This has been Greg LaFollette. Thank you.